Radio Africana, the radio for Africans in diaspora.
Welcome to the Road of Correction Show with your host, Ricardo Bezalel.
Hallelujah! Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us,
who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh,
ooh,
but they that are after the Spirit,
the things of the Spirit.
For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God,
neither indeed can be.
So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God.
But ye are not in the flesh,
but in the Spirit.
If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you.
Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Oh. But the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also
quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you.
Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh
to live after the flesh.
For if ye live after the flesh,
ye shall die.
But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body,
ye shall live.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God,
they are the sons of God.
For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children,
then heirs,
heirs of God, and joint heirs
with Christ.
If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this...
In our discussion today, we are going to be focusing on the book of Romans chapter 8, beginning to read from verse 1. And it talks about that, it says that there is therefore now no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus, which who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And verse 3 says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be fleshly minded or carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Right. That's quite a handful we've read from Romans chapter 8, verse 1, all the way to verse 8. But what we want to focus on is just verse 1 on its own at the moment, which says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus. The question is, what does this actually mean in practice? What does it mean? So, in order to answer that question, we have to look at the word condemnation. What does condemnation mean? Condemnation simply means destined for destruction, destined for perishing, destined for dissolution, destined for a permanent end. There is no rescuing when something has been condemned. It has got to be taken apart and destroyed. So when the scripture says there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, we need to ask, when did this condemnation begin? When did this condemnation start? And where did this condemnation come from? And why did it come? And why is everybody then condemned when maybe they were not there when the condemnation started and things like that? You know, what happened? Why is it like this? And when you talk of condemnation, how do you know what condemnation is? And in what type and what varieties do these condemnations come? And how can you tell the difference between this condemnation, that condemnation, and things like that? Because when somebody has committed a crime and they are sent to prison, it's a form of condemnation, condemned to 20 years in jail, condemned to 50 years in jail, condemned to 50 years in prison or to life in prison, whatever it may be. It's a form of condemnation. So when the scriptures talk about this, therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, what is this condemnation and what is the scriptures talking about? What should we know about this narrative and how does that help us? It will help us understand, because without knowledge, it is impossible to please God. Because the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 11, says without faith it is impossible to please God. But faith is only based on knowledge, and knowledge is based on correct information. So if you've got wrong information, you do not have knowledge, and if you do not have knowledge, you've got nothing to be faithful about or to be faithful concerning, whatever it may be. So the issue of knowledge is paramount to any activity or narrative of faith. Whatever you call faith, it has got to be based on the correct information, based on correct knowledge. So when we talk about condemnation in the scriptures, and as far as for lack of a better word, I will use the word religion, although I don't like the word religion, because religion simply means the efforts of mankind in their efforts to try and reach out to an unknown God. That is religion. But believing in the Messiah, in the Christ, the God who became a human being and was crucified, died and rose again from the dead, that is not religion. It is actually a faith, which is a trust that whatever he did, beginning with his identity, his mission, his assignment, his accomplishment, and everything he has done since he appeared to mankind in fashion as a man, the God of heaven having put on a human body to become like a human being, that is what is called faith. It is faith in the essence that the God of heaven, whilst he was still seated on the throne in heaven, left that throne whilst still seated on it. He proceeded out of himself and remained still seated, yet he proceeded out of himself and came into this world as the Word of God. And as the Word of God, whatever God speaks, those words become his Son. And when he spoke his word into existence, that word became his Son. The word Son in scripture is not gender related. The word sons of God in scripture is not about gender. The word Son in scripture does not mean sex or sexuality or the narrative of being a male human being. No. The word Son, it means that which carries a seed within itself. The word Son means that which has got capacity to propagate the bloodline. The word Son means that which has got the potential to produce after its own kind, to produce fruit after its own kind. So that is what is called sonship, you see. So when you hear preachers say, oh, you know what, when the Bible says sons of God, that's old patriarchal language. You can say sons and daughters of God. That's a big no. Daughters do not carry the bloodline. That is why they only carry an egg, and that egg needs the instructions for life in order for it to become a human being. On its own, that egg has got no life on its own. But the when it is fertilized in at conception, then it can generate into a human being. So that is what sonship is about. The sonship is about the one who carries information, instructions for life. Instructions for life, and the instructions for life are contained in the human sperm, which is only found in a male human being. So the word son is not gender related. The word son is not about their sex. It's got to do with that ability to propagate after the type of whatever you are. So when a female human being who is tabernacled in a spiritual human being who is tabernacled in a female body, when they believe the scriptures, when they believe the narrative of salvation as presented in the story of the Messiah, the God of heaven who became a man, when they believe in that, even though they are female biologically, they become sons spiritually, because then they carry the seed, which is the incorruptible seed of the word of God, which lives and abides forever. That word is the seed of God, the gospel, the true gospel, which produces sons, other sons of God, which makes people come to the salvation of Christ. That is what gives the ability to become a son. Now, when the scripture says there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, what is it talking about? It is talking about the fact that Adam, the first human being, and his wife, they crossed over from God to the devil. They were adopted by the devil, which is why when Jesus comes, he says, I'll give you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will take of what is mine and make it known unto you. And when the Spirit is making known unto you what God has done for you in order to prepare heaven for you so that you don't go to hell, when he makes known to you that, you say, oh, I'm saved, I'm born again, and the Spirit witnesses with your spirit that you are a son of God. The scripture itself ministers, the Spirit himself ministers, testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, we are sons of God. For he's given us the Spirit, he's not given us the spirit of bondage again to fear, but he's given us the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. Which means that if you are not adopted into the spiritual family of the regenerated spirits which belong to God, you are outside that ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not testify with your spirit that you are a son of God, you are a child of God. If that testimony is missing or is a false narrative because what you believe is not the truth, when that is your state, then you are still adopted under the adoption which Adam was adopted by the devil. And in that adoption state where Adam was adopted and then began having children outside of the garden, having been adopted by the devil, and in that state, everybody who is in that state is indeed condemned. And that condemnation is what the scriptures is talking about. There is therefore now no condemnation, to say that the condemnation which already is there comes because it comes by default. You don't choose it. You are born into it because your parent, going back to the first human being, was adopted by the devil. And any children which he gave birth to, because he had the power to propagate, he had the power to plant seed into his wife, and there, out of the pregnancy of the wife, came Cain and Abel and Seti and all the other children which came. Until today, we've got billions of human beings on this earth. billions of human beings born under the condemnation of Adam because he was adopted of the devil. And the devil had a right. Before the Messiah came, he had the right to take everybody to hell with him, which is why even some people today still teach that everybody is going to hell. Everybody's approach is going to approach hell. Whatever they say, it used to be true. It was true once upon a time until everything changed. The crossover to the other side started when Jesus, the Messiah, came. And he was found in fashion as a man. And when he was found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself even unto death, even the death of the cross, so that whosoever believes in him, the resurrected Savior, should not be condemned, should not perish, but what? Shall have everlasting life. Therefore, when the scripture says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus, we need then to say, okay, what types of condemnation are these? Well, there is the Adamic condemnation, which is what I've been talking about. So the Adamic condemnation, which is the inherited sentence, you know, the original sin, the Adamic condemnation when he was adopted by the devil and crossed over to the other side from life to death, from light to darkness, from the power of God to the power of Satan. Because God had told Adam, you shall not eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. And Adam did eat of that tree, and sure enough, he died. But that death kept his flesh alive, yet his spirit had been separated from God. And when you are separated from God, it means that there is no more sustenance spiritually from God himself. So as far as God is concerned, you are as good as dead. Therefore, when God looks at humanity, he sees humanity which are dead spiritually, even though they try and try and try and try to do their best to be good, to do their best to be humble human beings, to do their best to be charitable human beings and call themselves philanthropists and all that, they will not be free from the condemnation of Adam, because the condemnation which was instituted by the sin of Adam, by the fall of the first man, cannot be reversed by you giving charitable works. It cannot be reversed by you praying 5 times a day. It cannot be reversed by you praying facing the west or the east or the north or the south. It cannot be reversed by you washing your feet or washing your hair, whatever you do, all those rituals. There is therefore now no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus. It doesn't say to those who pray facing the west or the south or the east. It doesn't say there is no condemnation to those who follow the religious rituals and follow the laws of religion and all that. That narrative, my friend, is just keeping you busy, but you are not going anywhere. You remain in the condemnation which Adam brought into this world. So there is the first type of condemnation, is the Adamic condemnation. The Adamic condemnation, which we call the original sin. And this was the result of the first father. Adam is the first human father there ever was. Right, so the ultimate consequence of this is that there was a universal and spiritual death, culminating in the destruction in the lake of fire, which is there is therefore now no condemnation. What is this condemnation? The condemnation it is talking about here is the second death. The first death is the death which Adam died, and when he died that death, he brought condemnation to all human beings, and because of that, that is called the first death. The second death is when on judgment day, when all who are dead spiritually and are still in the condemnation of Adam, their human spirits are gonna thrown into the lake of fire, as he says in the book of Revelation 19. And this is the second death. And that second death, my friend, is the ultimate condemnation. Is the ultimate condemnation. So when the scripture says that the Lord Jesus came and by his stripes, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was beaten up. You know, he suffered on that cross. He was wounded and he was despised and we esteemed him not. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and by his stripes we are healed. that healing is not referring to tuberculosis. It's not referring to any type of disease which people are filling hospitals today because they are sick, or to Ebola or malaria, whatever disease is out there. That healing is the healing from the death of Adam. So the death of Adam is the first sickness which all humanity is born suffering, that sickness, which is the spiritual death because of what Adam did. And that is a form of condemnation. Romans chapter 5 on verse 12, it explains that sin entered through one man. Through one man, sin entered into the world, and death therefore passed unto all men. And that this death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who didn't sin, in the exact same manner as Adam did. So you see, Romans chapter 5 verse 12 tells us that the death was brought by Adam, and it passed to all humanity, and that is the first type of condemnation. And religion will not free you from that. Wearing a church uniform will not free you from that. Following the laws of Moses will not free you from that. So and again, if you keep reading that same Romans chapter 5 on verse 17, he talks about that by one man's offense, death reigned, and that by the offense of the one, judgment came upon all men unto condemnation. You see, so this is the first type dimension of condemnation, the condemnation which is the Adamic condemnation. And you can look also Romans chapter 6, he talks about for the wages of sin is death. And when he talks about death, it's not talking about the biological death, he's talking about the spiritual death, which is being thrown into the lake of fire, which is death type 2. And that second type of death is what Romans chapter 6 verse 23 is talking about. And when you go on to First Corinthians chapter 15, it talks about from verse 45, it talks about that the first man Adam, who he was of the earth and earthly, and he is the one who brought condemnation. But the Adam being the first, it says the first man, it also means the first father. So the first father brought condemnation. That's 1 Corinthians 15 verse 45 to 47. It talks about the first man Adam brought, the first father Adam brought death, brought condemnation. But the last man, the last Adam, which is the last father, the second father, which is Jesus Christ, the resurrected Savior, he brought what? He brought life. The second father, which is the Lord from heaven, he became a quickening spirit. He became a life-giving spirit. So in Luke as well, Luke 15, we see that there is joy in heaven when one sinner repents and escaped the default state of being condemned, which is what John 3 verse 16 came to be about when Jesus announced that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whosoever believes in him should not be condemned, should not perish in the second death, should not be destroyed in the second death, but should have everlasting life in heaven. So you see now, when the very first things which the Lord Jesus started to talk about when he came to the earth was to announce that there is now a medication, there is now an antidote to the death of Adam, there is now a healing from the death of Adam, and that which is what John 3 verse 16 is talking about. For God so loved the world that he gave, so that whosoever believes should not remain sick in the death of Adam, but should be healed by the resurrection of Christ. You see now, the begotten son there, so that whosoever believes in the begotten son there is simply referring to the resurrected son. So the resurrection of Jesus from the dead is the number one medication which the whole world needs, is the number one medication which the whole world should be craving for, is the number one medication which is the solution and the answer to all the questions of life. It is the answer. It is the only answer there is, because the condemnation of Adam will continue to hound people until they cross over from death to life, from condemnation to the life of heaven. You see now. So the second type of condemnation, there are a few of them, we're going to look at them today. The second type of condemnation is the condemnation which comes through the law, the religious laws. Any religious law is a condemnation. And the first religious law to go full time into condemning the people was the law of Moses, which is called the Mosaic Ministration of Condemnation. And that condemnation, this dimension of condemnation, is generated by the Mosaic Covenant itself, rather than acting as a ladder to safety. The law of Moses, the Old Testament law, and any religious laws which have regurgitated the laws of Moses today, any of those laws, they are operating as a structural prosecutor that locks humanity deeper into its death sentence, which was acquired from Adam. So following any of these religious laws will not free you from the Mosaic condemnation, from the laws of any religious law you may think of. It is a ministry of condemnation, which is why any religious law, starting from the law of Moses to whatever we have today, what does it do? It condemns to death. It kills. The law kills, but the spirit in Christ gives life. The law is a killer, my friend. So the root cause why the condemnation of the law still works today is because people trusting in legalistic observation of rituals and keeping the Old Testament commandments, or even specifically modernizing them to give them a new name, and even if they don't give it a new name, it will include things like keeping the tithing according to the law of Moses, keeping the first fruits offerings according to the law of Moses, keeping the Sabbath according to the laws of Moses. All those kind of things, they are a ministry of condemnation, because the law ended on the cross, my friend, and should not be followed today. But the principles of God continue. How do we know what to keep from the Old Testament and what to graduate from? Well, anything that required a minister, or a high priest and a temple in Jerusalem, anything of that nature, yes, it was ended on the cross. But the principles of God, like purity and respect and honoring God and honoring the elders and doing things according to the standards of what who God is, those principles of life, they don't disappear. They keep going on. But anything that required a high priest to be present in order for it to be executed and observed, any of that has been ended, because Jesus is now our high priest in the heavenly holy of holies. So we don't need to go to Jerusalem temple anymore. We don't need to go to whatever religious building which is there in Jerusalem, or wherever people go for such exercise. We've got a high priest who is in heaven, and he is the one whom now who we can worship in spirit and in truth. And when it comes to giving, we give as we have purposed in our hearts. So the ultimate consequence of observing the law of the religious laws is that it strips away a person's spiritual alibi, exposing their helplessness and leaving them on an absolute spiritual death row, which Adam condemned us before we were born. So that is the ultimate consequence. You cannot escape the condemnation and the death row which Adam gave birth to you, and you found yourself in that manner. So the law, it was a temporary construct. Its structural covering over the people was a prophetic indicator that was designed to be completely abolished and replaced by the resurrection of the Messiah from the dead. So if you continue ministering the law of Moses today, you are refusing that Jesus came and has destroyed the law and ended the law. You see, because the 2 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 6, it brands the it says that it explicitly brands the Old Testament law as the law that killeth, for the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. The law is a spiritual minister of death. It's a ministration of death and a ministration of condemnation. This is contrasted heavily against the New Testament, which is a ministration of righteousness. So, my friend, those are the two types of condemnation, the Adamic condemnation, and then the Mosaic ministration of the law type of condemnation. And I wonder, my friend, what type of condemnation are you still under as we speak in this hour? What is the state of your life, my friend? How are you in terms of being far away from these types of condemnation? Jesus warned the legalist, say, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even the law of Moses, in whom you trust. And he went on to say, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me. So where are you, my friend?
Psalm 103. Oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. All that is within me. Bless his holy. And do not forget all his kind deeds. He who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with loving devotion and compassion. Who satisfies you with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving devotion. The Father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows our frame.
He is mindful that we are dust.
As for man, his days are like grass.
He blooms like a flower of the field.
When the wind to their children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts.
Our discussion on which we are on about today is about the condemnation, understanding condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now we are saying, okay, this Romans chapter 8 verse 1 is talking about two things. It's talking about the condemnation which is almost like it's already there, because it doesn't say where it came from. It just says there is therefore now no condemnation. When did this condemnation start? And we have established that there are various types of condemnation. There is the Adamic condemnation, which is the inherited sentence of death, and which Isaiah 53 says, when he talks about, and by his stripes we are healed. It's being healed from ulcers or whatever disease you may think of is a secondary thing, and that still happens today. But the number one thing which the healing which Christ the healer brought into this world is the healing from the death which Adam gave all humanity. So if you have not yet been healed from the death which Adam gave you, you are still under the Adamic condemnation. And that condemnation, Romans chapter 5 verse 12, it tells us that through one man death came into the world. Through Adam death came into the world. But we know that as well, that for the wages of sin is death, like Adam brought that death, but the gift of God, the gift of the Spirit is what? Everlasting life. The gift of God is everlasting life, and that God is talking about the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who rose again from the dead, so that you can have the gift of life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Everlasting life in heaven. And that can only happen if your spirit man has been healed from the death of Adam. And we say the second type of condemnation comes from the law, the ministration of condemnation, the law of Moses, which demands your flesh to follow certain codes of conduct. You shall do this, you shall not do that, you shall not do this, you blah 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 blah, and if you do this, we're gonna kill you. But it doesn't empower you to be actually able to overcome your flesh. You see, that is the major difference between the ministration of condemnation, which is the law of Moses, and any other religious law you may think of. It's a ministration of condemnation, but it does empower the human spirit on the inside, so that we can control your human body not out of fear, because yes, people can be controlled by making them afraid, you see. And out of fear, oh, if I steal this, I'm going to get my hand chopped off. So I would rather not steal because I want to keep my hand. You have not changed this person on the inside. You have simply instilled fear in them. But their condition, their state of being dead in the death of Adam, that remains the same. It will not be removed by instilling fear in them, that if you are found to have done this or to have said that, and or you've done this or you went to, well, whatever the condemnation is going to be, we're going to cut your head off, we're going to throw you into the fire, we're going to stone you to death, whatever it may be. That's kind of fear mongering and exerting dictatorial tendencies upon the people cannot, and has never ever actually produced a life-giving condition, because the life only comes from a spiritual being. Every seed produces after its own kind. Therefore, the law of Moses and any other religious law does not have the seed of life in it. It only has got the seed of condemnation, and therefore it produces condemnation. And condemnation is not how you get into heaven. It's not how you enter into paradise and then into heaven on judgment day. The only way how a human being can be saved from going to hell is to have their human spirit healed from the condemnation which Adam brought into this world, and from having their spirit healed from the condemnation which the law of Moses brought into this world, because the law of Moses is a killer, and there is no other way of circumventing that and avoiding the need to be resurrected from the death of Adam, because it's impossible to do. There is no other solution there is except the antidote, which is the resurrection of Christ. In Romans chapter 8:13, it declares that God declaring the new covenant, he has met the first old, and that which is old is what is now ready to is now decaying and is ready to vanish away, you see. So it is vanished away, it is ready to vanish away. This tense in Hebrews 8:13, it's like present continuous tense. Why is it like that? Because every day new generations of human beings are born, and they are born dead in the law of Adam, in the condemnation of Adam. But it is an old covenant death which is ready to vanish away the moment somebody then is, by the grace of God, by the grace of Christ, believes in the scriptures, believes in the resurrection of Christ. That condemnation vanishes away. That's why the scripture says is ready to vanish away. So you hearing my voice tonight, today, this morning, this afternoon, this evening, wherever, whatever you may be, whatever time it may be, wherever you are, my listener, your condemnation is ready to vanish away the moment you believe in the resurrection of Christ. It will not stay. It will vanish away, which is why Hebrews chapter 8 verse 13, it talks about that decaying is ready to vanish away. And Isaiah 43 also talks about, remember ye the former things, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old, for I'm gonna do a new thing. And the new thing was what? The resurrection of Christ from the dead, which is exactly what gave us the New Testament, because the New Testament is basically about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And when he did that, what did he mean? When he did that, he did that by actually giving us the resurrection life. That resurrection life is the antidote, is the poison stopper, is the healing nutrient, is the healing concoction, which is what we need. So when we consider like how the Hebrew people came out of Egypt, the Red Sea was parted, the waters gathered to the left and to the right, and the Hebrew people passed on dry land. And that was the separation of life and death, so that there can be a pathway through. And that pathway through, once that pathway has been generated and somebody realizes that path, they go through it, they cross over to the other side. The crossing over to the other side, when they look back, those waters come back together again. It was a symbol symbolizing that the rod of the law was going to be completely abolished and was never meant to be a permanent highway. So when you move from darkness to life, from death to life, from darkness to light, you should not be going back to the darkness again, which is why God closed up the Red Sea, and the road which they crossed over was no more, because they were supposed to keep looking ahead to the promised land. So the third type of condemnation is the condemnation which comes by rejecting the gospel, which is called an active unbelief. Active unbelief. Jesus, what? And you raise your middle finger at the gospel and you say, get lost, Jesus, this Jesus, what, my foot, there is nothing like that. That is an active unbelief. So it comes with its own sentence, which is the condemnation which comes by the rejecting of the scriptures. In John 3 verse 18, it clearly states that he that believes in him is not condemned, you see, but he that believeth, he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the Son of God whom God sent into this world, you see. So Jesus did not come to give people condemnation. The condemnation was already here, my friend. So don't accuse him of being unloving. Don't accuse him of being uncaring. Don't accuse him of being a cruel God. How can a loving God send all these millions of people to hell? How can a loving God do this? How can a loving God do that? Listen, my friend, you are already condemned even before you know about Jesus. You are already condemned because Adam sinned, you see. So the root cause of why people stay in active unbelief is that they'll be stalling, they'll be reluctant, they'll be reluctant to hear the complete story. Their heart remains closed. They keep mocking and treating the narrative of the gospel with unbelief, and they've got all sorts of questions and narratives why it should not be true. Why not my religion? Why not your? Why is your religion correct and mine is wrong? Listen. Believing in Jesus Christ correctly is not a religion, because it is the God of heaven who came to us and gave himself for us. So all you can do is to accept what is the grace which is offering you. Whereas religion says God is over there, you are over that side. Do your best to come over to where God is. That's religion for you. But the narrative of the New Testament is that the God of heaven came to where humanity was. All you have to do is open up your heart to the knock which Jesus is already knocking on your door and saying, I knock, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anybody hears my voice and open the door, I'll come in and I'll sup with him. So he is the one who first of all knocks on your door, but you've got your responsibility to open your heart from the inside and accept and receive that which the Messiah is bringing unto you. He's bringing the seed of fertilization so that your spirit man can conceive the image of Christ in your spirit name, in your spirit man, and you can be saved. So Acts chapter 17 verse 32, it talks about that the when Apostle Paul was preaching, the people said, you are a babbler, some said, we'll hear you again on this matter, this now they say, this Jesus, he never rose again, just Jesus, he's the Son of God. No, he's not the Son of God, he's the son of Mary, that one. And you know what, he was not even crucified, he ran away to heaven and got Judas Iscariot or somebody else to be crucified on his behalf. You see, those kind of narratives, that's active unbelief. You see, so you remain condemned because of rejecting the gospel. And you see that in Philippians chapter 1, it talks about that the there's always that people, when they come to the gospel, one of the dangers of what the gospel is going through at this time is that there are so many fake churches, fake preachers, fake this and fake that, fake apostles, fake prophets, fake reverends, fake pastors, fake teachers and of the Bible and things like that. So because there is so much fake, people think, how am I gonna know what is what, which is which, and how do I know what to believe, But the story is very simple. The story is very simple. The devil is a thief who came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And that is how he is doing it, by causing confusion within the camp, by sowing confusion and sowing weeds instead of allowing the crop of the gospel of Christ to prosper. He is gonna come and he is sowing the seeds of confusion. So, but John 14 verse 6, it says that Jesus says that even though people are rejecting me, even though people are saying whatever they are saying and they don't want to hear about what I've done for them or what I'll do for them or what I'm doing for them, he declared that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You see, so this is not a religion. Jesus has come to present himself and say, I'm offering myself unto you. And he's not desperate. So even if you say, to hell with your Jesus, he's not going to hell. He's the owner of hell. It is you who is going to go to hell, because Jesus is the estate manager of hell. It is one of his properties, you see. And it's like saying that a city council has got a recycling center, has got a rubbish heap where they destroy plastic and burn them in fire and things like that. So Jesus owns everything, my friend. He created everything and he owns everything. So you cannot say to hell with Jesus, because hell is one of his creations, you see. So, my friend, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If you don't accept that, you remain in active unbelief, which is the condemnation of rejecting the gospel above all other condemnations of the Adamic condemnation, the religious law condemnation, the law of Moses condemnation, the active unbelief condemnation. And there is a fourth type of unbelief of condemnation, which is the condemnation of willful sin against Christ, which is what is called apostasy. You see, this represents the most severe, frightening tear of the condemnation. The issue is, when when you have heard of the gospel and you continue to sin deliberately and turning against Christ after having fully received the explicit knowledge of the truth, that the salvation which comes to your life to give you eternal life in heaven is only found in Christ, and it is only Him, because it is only Him who rose again from the dead, it is only Him who is qualified to be able to give you everlasting life. If you turn away from that truth, then what else is there to save you? The ultimate consequence, my friend, is that it's an absolute, inescapable spiritual desolation in the second death. And the key characteristics of such kind of death is that there is, if an individual, if you keep fighting and cheapening and rejecting the solitary and the uniquely unique mediator between God and man, who is Jesus Himself, the resurrected God, there is no secondary savior coming to bail you out. You reject Jesus, there is nobody else out there who is gonna rescue your spirit man from the condemnation of hell. And that is the truth, my friend. So that is the fourth type of condemnation, which is the willful sin against Christ, willful sin against Christ, willful rejection against Christ. You know about Him, you know everything He represents, but you're gonna say, sod off, I'm not gonna believe that, get away from me. Yes, He will get away from you, but you remain in your condemnation, and it's a quadruple type of condemnation, you see. And my friend, you got to understand that the in Hebrews chapter 10 it talks about, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and the fear indignation which shall devour the adversaries of God. So you see, my friend, if you continue to reject Jesus even after you have understood the narrative that He came as the God of heaven, what He came to do, He came to offer healing, He came to provide healing from the condemnation of Adam, and the number one healing is the resurrection of your human spirit from the death of Adam. That's the number one healing. If you say that I've been healed from high blood pressure or from diabetes or from whatever, that's secondary. The primary one, which everybody on this world, from the richest man in the world to the poorest of the poor, what everybody needs is the healing of their human spirit from the death of Adam. And that is what the narrative is, my friend. That if you listen to the gospel, and you listen to the gospel to believe it, because it has come knocking on your door. If you open your heart, because He has come knocking on your door, you don't choose Him, because He has already chosen you. By you hearing the gospel, it means it is Him who has actually come unto you and said, I am here to save you, I am here to give you life, I am here to rescue you from the death of Adam. But if you don't believe that and you think, oh, well, who cares? Yeah, leave me alone. You know, you only live once. I want to enjoy my life, my choice, my body, my choice. And you say all these kind of narratives. My friend, your spirit man is not yours. Your spirit man belongs to God. And it is God at the end of the day who is going to decide what happens to your spirit man. Would you not be wise, my friend? Would you not be wise to sit down and take a stock of where your life is headed and say, you know what, the scripture says, like it says in 1 Timothy 2 on verse 5, it talks about that there is one mediator between God and man. There is one mediator between God and man. And that mediation is the only one which can allow your spirit man to be alive from the death of Adam, to be resurrected from the death of Adam, so that you can, as in Adam, all die, but in Christ shall all be made alive. So in Christ there is life. In Adam there is death. In religion there is death. But in the faith of the resurrected God, Jesus Christ, there is life. There is everlasting life. There is no more condemnation. There is therefore now no more condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Remember, that's the story of our day today. So the divine resolution, which is what we call justification in all this, is that we need to remember, my friend, that all these four types of condemnation, you know, they come pointing to a singular location and time where all this condemnation actually stops and ceases to be, you see, which is why when you look at the scriptures, you see that there are four gospels, and there are four cardinal directions of in life, the major ones: north, south, east, west, and there are four gospels which were describing Jesus with a 360 degree perspective, so that you can understand him correctly. And also Jesus, he gave gifts to humanity. He gave four offices. Yeah, he gave the office of the apostle, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. You see, those four, just like Jacob, he built the nation of Israel from four women: Leah and Rachel, Zilpah and Bilhah. And through those, he came up with the 12 tribes of Israel, which the number 12 is the number of the elect. And therefore, when we are talking about these types of condemnation, there is four types of condemnation, but all of them, they are pointing to one thing. They are pointing to a place. There is a place. There is a place where all these four condemnations are nullified. They are brought to zero, which is brings us back to our theme verse of today, Romans 8 verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. You see, that condemnation is ended, my friend. In Isaiah 43, it talks about God bypasses the wilderness of human ruin to do a new thing, declaring, I am the one that blotteth out your transgressions for my own sake, and will not remember thy sins. You see, so there is a place, my friend, where the whole condemnation, all these four types of condemnation, can be dissolved and will be dissolved and are constantly dissolved every day when anybody comes and is found by the gospel. And Hebrews chapter 8 and Jeremiah 31:31 talks about the same thing, that there is a new covenant coming as the old is ready to pass away, promising, I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. You see now, that condemnation, my friend, is lifted only in the resurrection of Christ, only in the resurrection of the Messiah, the Savior, the God of heaven, who became a man. That is where all these four different types of condemnation can be lifted, my friend. In Psalm 103, it talks about, it celebrates the escape of those who had been condemned before, just like in Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now condemnation. But in Psalm 103, it talks about God hath not dealt with us after our sins, but he has removed our transgression. For as far as the east is from the west, has he removed our sins from us. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So this is the narrative of the scriptures, my friend. This is what the scripture is saying unto us, that there is therefore now no condemnation. Why? Because the Messiah, Jesus, the God of heaven, who became a man, he came and accomplished everything and anything that was required to bring life again to humanity, to the spirits of human beings. In Psalm 34 verse 19, it concludes with the ultimate promise of security for the justified. It says, Let the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be made desolate or shall be condemned. You see, the Psalm 34 verse 19 to 22, it talks about the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants. The soul there, it means the spirit, the condemned spirit. He redeems from the death of Adam. He redeems from the condemnation of Adam. He redeems from the condemnation of the law of Moses. He redeems from the active rejection of the gospel, which people do, and he redeems from apostasy, which is the fourth type of condemnation. So, my friend, He said what? The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, the spirit of his servants, and none of them, and none of them that trust in him shall be made desolate or shall be condemned. This is the narrative, my friend. Where do you stand today? The scripture has come. The gospel has come into your life. What are you going to do with it? And you will remember this message, and it will be with you into your old age, or into the day, whatever, how many ever days you still, years you have got on this earth. This teaching on there is therefore now no condemnation, may it continue to be with you, and may it continue to ring in your spirit, so that you can make the correct decision to know what to do with the love which God, the resurrected Savior Jesus, is giving unto you right now. We would very much like to hear from you. Please do get in touch with us on UK number 07460670044. Send text, WhatsApp, Telegram, or email us on roadofcorrection.tv@gmail.com.
The destination for African sounds, Radio Africana.